All right, man, WFUQU 307 on the man's clock here in the man's studio, FUQU. I hate to interrupt that incredible 75-minute Fire on the Mountain by Grateful Dead 1973. We were just getting in the second half of the third part of the song. I hate that, but I got a message from our station owner and manager, Jim Drangle. He's listening to the show, man. He loves it. He loves the Dead. He's outside of the studio with a small crowd, not entirely sure what's going on, but he's got a message for us. He'd like to go live. All right, Jim, plugging it down to you, brother. Take it away. Jim, indeed. If that doesn't make you see trails, I don't know what will. All right, FUQU, we'll be back after this. Commercial break.
Commercial break.
Commercial break.
Commercial break.
Commercial break.
On this episode of the Commercial Break.
I want to share this for the tenor and tone of the conversation, not because I give a shit. But this guy is a 50-year-old, I would imagine, man. The Pearl Jam, probably not the first choice on his iPod. But this guy, Jackie Beans, from the moment the show started, was enjoying Pearl Jam than I have ever enjoyed Pearl Jam. And I consider myself a pretty big fan of the band. This guy was a lightning bolt of energy of the most positive and warming kind. I have, besides Chrissy being on my left side, I have never enjoyed having someone next to me so much at a concert than Jackie Beans.
Oh, yeah. I kept looking over. I was like, yes.
Jackie. He was jamming out.
Oh, my God, he was.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Kittens, welcome back to the Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? Chrissy and I still recovering from what has to be one of the greatest concert adventures we've ever had.
And that's saying a lot.
And that is saying a lot. That is, you really have to put two and two together to make an adventure for Chrissy and I, because we've been through a few. And everybody has. If you have a good friend and you're into partying and a good time, then you've had those long nights, those... I don't even know what to say about that show. It was one hell of a fun time.
Oh, my God.
That's all I got to say.
It really
Chrissy
was.
And I went and saw Pearl Jam's Dark Matter tour, night one, here at the State Farm Arena in Atlanta. And it was... And by the way, we're a couple days removed from this and we're still recovering, so there you go. That was the latest I've been up.
Oh, my God.
It's since my wedding, I think. I honestly think. I got to bed just before 4 o'clock. I fell asleep. 4 o'clock in the morning. And I did not drink or drug at all because I have children, and I know that train is coming no matter how I'm feeling. So I just decided, well, let me see if I can. That's probably also the first Pearl Jam show I've ever been to sober. That's for sure. But it was a good time.
It was so good. The best group of people.
The best group of people. Some of the best seats I've ever had to any show.
Yes.
And I've seen a couple Pearl Jam shows, and that was up there for sure.
Wow.
Clear sight line.
Next to the stage.
Right there. Big stadium. I don't know, 25,000 people or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And we were sitting right side stage, couple rows up. And great view. You could see the whites of their eyes, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie Vedder was in rare form, running and jumping and howling as he does. He's still got a set of pipes on him.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
The band was tight.
Even Jackie Beans said,
Jackie Beans.
He got a set of lung on him. And I said, yes, he does, Jackie Beans. I don't even know where to start. So we got bequeathed a couple of really good tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Let me back up. Pearl Jam. Graham was supposed to do their Dark Matter tour a couple of years ago, but of course, COVID put a stop to that. And so now they're back, you know, kind of doing some of the shows they were supposed to do. They did them in 24, and they're doing a second leg, a second American leg of the tour here in 2025. I think Atlanta is like the third stop that they're making on this.
Yeah, next up, they're in a Jazz Fest.
Well, they're here tonight again.
Yes.
And then they go over to Jazz Fest to do Jazz Fest. I've actually seen them at Jazz Fest, too. They're like maybe 10 years ago, something like that. No, probably like 15 years ago, actually. But when they announced, you know, Pearl Jam is one of those bands who tries to fight against the StubHub Ticketmaster bullshit. And here's how they do it. They have a fan club. The fan club gets first bite. They, I think like 25% of the tickets go to the fan club at any given show. I'm not 100% sure about the numbers, but this is what I've heard. And then they release the rest general public Ticketmaster, you know, whatever, credit card presale and all that shit that's pretty common and standard. And then they do not allow you to transfer the tickets, except in a couple states where it's illegal to stop transferring it of tickets. There's like five states where it's illegal to halt the transferring of tickets. But Georgia is one of the states that allows them to stop the transferring of tickets. So here's what happens. We get in line when the tickets go on sale. My brothers and I do electronically, and we say, okay, whoever gets there first or gets the best seats, let's go ahead and buy for everybody. And my twin brother managed to get in there first, and he got center of the stadium, very last row. Very last row. And when I say very last row, I'm not even kidding. It's like as my little brother put it when we were at the show, if you want to find us, just look up again, and then look up some more. There we are. These are the worst seats I have ever seen at any concert ever. They were terrible, but they were tickets.
Yeah, and it sold out.
And it sold out in minutes. Like, these guys haven't been to Atlanta in almost 15 years. It sold out in minutes, as most Pearl Jam shows do, because they're one of the better rock bands still kicking, and they have a very loyal fan base. And for those of you that are a little bit younger, maybe Pearl Jam's not your flavor, but they were a big deal when we were growing up. And they have toured like the Grateful Dead tour, like for years. They just did like so many shows over and over again. People would follow them. They put out no set list is ever the same. No show is ever the same. Eddie Vedder, the singer, writes the set list minutes before they go on stage. They pass them out, and there you go. It's off to the races. So you never see the same show twice. And that's part, I think, the allure of keeping people coming back. So we get these tickets. They're not particularly good, but whatever. We're going to see Pearl Jam for the first time in Atlanta in a long time. Let's go. Let's make a Brothers Day of it, a Brothers Night of it. And as we get closer to the show, Chrissy texts me, and she says, "You still going to go to Pearl Jam?" And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Well, Jeff's friend, Kevin, has some tickets to the show because
he's a huge fan,
is also a super fan. And, you know, this guy rolls deep. Like, he can probably get some good tickets. He knows people that are connected to the band or whatever the story is. I'm not particularly sure. And that's not important. But he has some tickets. And if you want to go, he's got an extra one for you." And I'm thinking to myself, well, I was the one who told all the brothers we're going to put the brothers' night together. So, but how can I pass up but I know these tickets are not particularly good. And how can I pass up the opportunity to go to a show where the tickets are going to be essentially from the guys in the band, and they're probably going to be really good seats?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just once in a lifetime. We'll figure it out. If you've done concerts enough, if you've been around music enough, you know it doesn't really matter where you're sitting. If you've got friends in the state, we'll all figure it out. We'll figure out a way we can hang out together. So I said, yes. I said, "Chrissy, yeah, give me that ticket, and then we'll just kind of figure it out." Okay. Night approaches. My friend Raphael, my good friend Raphael, dear friend.
Shout out to Rafa.
Shout out to Rafa. Super trooper, man of many adventures.
And he is a super trooper.
Many loincloths.
when we get to the point, I mean, I have to just say I was laughing to myself about you guys on our little group text that you started.
Yes.
Because the two of you bickering back and forth on the group text was hilarious.
I have described him on the show as my second wife, and he really is my second wife. Even my first wife would agree.
He's like, "I'm ready to be picked up." And Brian's like,
"What am I, your fucking Uber?"
Yeah, what am I, your Uber? Also, too, you've started partying, pre-partying too much before the show, and I got to pick you up. Close out your tab,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, close out your tab. I'm not sitting around waiting for you to get drunk. So Rafa wanted to go, but, you know, is there an extra ticket? Yes, now there is an extra ticket because, anyway, there's an extra ticket. So, yes, come on. But because there is no transfer of ticketing allowed, now there is a dance that has to be done. Now, here's what you need to understand this to just lay the base out for you. Not only is Pearl Jam playing at State Farm Arena, 25,000 people going to be there, but right next door at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, there is going to be Kendrick Lamar and SZA playing the exact same time, 75,000 people. 100,000 plus people are going to be in a half a square block, and we're all
downtown Atlanta.
Yes, well, in downtown Atlanta, we're all going to be trying to get to and fro that show at the exact same time. No drama. Well, if you live in any big city, then the officers and coordinators and whoever does this kind of shit, they're used to this. Like this, we had the Olympics. This isn't our first rodeo,
right?
But it doesn't matter. If 100,000 people are trying to get to one spot on the map at the same time and away from that same spot at the map, it's going to be a clusterfuck. You better strap on your dildos because you're about to get it in the rear. I mean, it's just the way that it is. And everybody knew it. We were all prepared. We all said to each other, this is going to be an adventure, so get there early. Okay, Rafa, I'll pick you up. Then we'll go down and pick Chrissy. We'll go down to Chrissy's house. And then from Chrissy's house, we'll take an Uber as close as possible to the stadium. And then if we have to walk, we'll walk once we just get to a dead stop. Because that's coming. We know it is.
Yeah. And it did.
And it did. Okay. So Chrissy and I are here recording. Chrissy goes home. 6 o'clock. I get out the door. Show starts at 7:30, but they have an opener. So we know they probably, Pearl Jam won't get on until about 8:45, 9-ish. So we have some time. Okay. So I text Rafa on this group text. I said, Rafa, I'm ready. Are you ready? And he says, yeah, I'm at the bar. Pick me up at the bar. At the bar?
At the brewery.
Which bar are you at? The brewery? Which brewery are you at? Now I have to go finding you? I wanted to come pick you up at your house, which is conveniently on the way to Chrissy's house. But now you have decided to take a detour to some other fucking bar where I have to go pick you up? And he says, I'll be ready for you. It's completely out of the way. Completely out of the way. 15 minutes in the opposite direction. But what am I going to do? That's who Rafa is. Rafa is just whatever. That's who Rafa and Brian are. Rafa assumes Brian's just going to come do whatever Rafa says. And I did. Yep. And I did.
Yes.
Not without bitching. I'm like bitching in the group. I'm like, now I'm your fucking Uber? And he says, yes.
Yes, 70, I would set it at 72 degrees.
Yeah. No talking. So I pick Rafa up. We're on our way down. The entirety of the ride down, Rafa has got a vape pen, and he is hitting that vape pen, adding to the old trope that the entirety of Atlanta is under one big cloud of weed. And I think it's coming from Rafa.
I think it might be coming from Rafa.
I think it's coming from Rafa. I got kids, and he's just like, you know, and I'm like, okay, dude. All right. Okay, settle down.
It had to have taken y'all a while, too, to get to my house.
It took about an hour.
Yeah.
But it was fine. We're talking and shooting the shit. And Rafa's, in the outer space. And, you know, we're laughing and giggling and bitching at each other. That's what we do. But by the time we got down there, you know, I was ready. I felt good. I was ready. I had a contact high, quite frankly. Yeah. Because, I mean, we weren't hotboxing, but it doesn't really matter. When that much smoke is blowing around, something's going to get in your nose. So we get down to Chrissy's house. We're not there very long. We call the Uber, and the Uber picks us up. Dimitri picks us up.
Dimitri. That's right.
A Russian guy who looks like a Russian guy. He looks like he just got off the front lines of the Ukrainian war, if I'm not being honest. But nice. But he's smart enough not to say, like, I have to sit in the front seat. Oh, but this is it, too. Like, we get out there. He's like, Rafa's like, oh, the Uber's here. Rafa had called the Uber. And I'm standing on Chrissy's porch. Rafa's getting in the car. He goes, oh, man, I called an Uber X, but they don't have a third row of – they have a third row of seats, but they could climb over. So you'll have to sit in front. And I'm like, why do I have to sit in front? Why do I have to be the one to sit in front?
I would have gotten in the back, too. I would have been
Listen, it's not that I'm opposed to sitting in the front of an Uber. I've done it a lot in cabs and all that other stuff. but it's the most uncomfortable seat in any ride you can take. Because you don't know the person you're sitting next to. You have to stare out the side window because you don't want to, they don't want them to feel like you're leering. You know, you don't want them to feel like you're leering at them or backseat driving. And you just like, you know, now you're all up in someone's
40.
Yeah. Hey, dude, stop sign. Take a right here. Take a left here. That's someone's personal space. You're in the 5-foot zone instantaneously, and no one asked for it. And you don't know that they're comfortable with anyway, whatever. Dimitri was nice. He says, come sit. Not the bite. Yeah, not the bite.
He was very nice.
So Chrissy lives maybe like 3 miles as the crow flies away from State Farm Arena. And 30 minutes into the ride, we are going nowhere fast. We're about half a mile, 3/4 of a mile away from the stadium. And so this great debate starts. Should we
get out here
and walk because it's a 15-minute walk to the State Farm Arena? Or should we stay in the car where it's now telling us it's going to take like 42 minutes to get to the arena? Well, Chrissy's like, no, just stay here. What do we got plenty of time. We got plenty of time. And meanwhile, the light keeps turning red and green and red and green and red and green, and we are literally not moving. Yeah. No movement whatsoever.
We were really stuck.
We were really stuck. Okay. I was like, let's just get out. It's a nice night. Let's get out. Let's take a walk. And we did. And in the most interesting part of Atlanta, here's three, you know, Pearl Jam fans walking through the most interesting part of Atlanta. And we meet Kevin and his friends at the Omni, which is a hotel that's attached to the State Farm Arena and what used to be the CNN Center. CNN's no longer there, but it used to be the CNN Center. Anybody who's been to Atlanta knows this, by the way. It's like one of those places you have to check off. I visited Atlanta. I went to the CNN Center kind of thing. We get to the Omni, and there is a hodgepodge, who's who, mishmash of human beings at the bar waiting to go to the show with Kevin. See, I didn't know that Kevin was like, had so many people going to the show.
Yeah.
When you say the band or someone attached to the band is getting us some tickets, what I assumed was like you, me, and Kevin would be going and maybe another person.
No,
you know
he gets
what I'm
like
saying?
10 tickets.
He had the entire row. Yeah. How do you do that? I mean, that is really quite amazing. I didn't ask, I didn't have the balls to ask, but that is quite amazing that he just had all these tickets. This is the oddest group of human beings I've ever seen in my entire life. There's a mountain of a man who stands like 7 feet tall, 4 years sober, you know, nicest guy he could be, a guy my age and his like 17, 18-year-old son, a couple who look like they've been in the cups all day long, and then Kevin and Jackie Beans.
Jackie Beans.
Jackie Beans is a guy that travels around with Kevin where he goes. He's a guy who helps Kevin do what Kevin needs to get done, is the way that I assume.
Yeah, he's like a personal assistant in a way.
He is a Mick Jagger's man's man. Do you know what I'm saying? Remember we were talking about Mick Jagger having a man's man?
Uh-huh.
This guy is a man's man. That's what he does.
He is a man's man.
But like,
he does whatever needs to be done.
He does whatever needs to be done. Uh-huh. That's right. And I can only imagine the stories that Jackie Beans has to tell. Following around a guy who told me, and I don't think he would be shy about saying this because he told me and we had just met, two private planes, one for driving around in the country and one for driving around outside the country.
Yes.
When you have two private planes, things are going okay for you.
Yes.
And so Jackie,
you're having fun in life.
Yeah. So Jackie Beans probably has the best job.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to, I imagine being a man's man is like, that's not a bad job to have.
No.
I mean, yes, you have to be at someone's beck and call and, you know, do a bunch of shit, you know, maybe that's like ticky tacky type stuff. But Jackie Beans.
And for somebody like Kevin, who's like one of the nicest people I've ever met in my
life. He really
life,
was. Yeah.
He's, and just cool and a great father, husband. I mean, he's a great guy.
Oh,
all
he's
around.
He's married with kids?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. I'd like to be married to Kevin. How do you get married to Kevin? How do you get married to Kevin?
Yeah.
Kevin had the best outfit on, by the way.
Forever, too.
He had the best outfit on.
Mm-hmm.
This guy had on a Western shirt, like a wet, like think of the old West. and it's got like the stitching on the shoulders.
Yeah, it had like the flowers.
And these flowers embroidered into the shirt.
Jeff's got some of those now, too.
I've seen Jeff in those, too.
It's called Howler.
It's called a Howler shirt?
Howler shirt, yeah.
I just thought that was the best. I was like, yeah, that's a great thing to wear to a concert. You know, you stand out. It doesn't look completely ridiculous, but it looks ostentatious enough that you're different. And it looks good. Like, it was good fitting.
Styling.
Jackie Beans is the star of the show. I mean, Kevin is the star of the show. He is a really nice guy. And by the way, super grateful that he hooked me up.
Oh, yeah.
But for some reason, the second that Jackie Beans got out of the elevator, we were like all waiting downstairs for Kevin to come in this bar. And Kevin comes down the elevator and Jackie Beans gets out and he's holding an Igloo cooler.
Yes.
And I turn around to somebody in the crowd and I go, I want to be the guy who carries, when you have a guy carrying around an Igloo cooler, following you around with an Igloo cooler,
yes.
Something is awesome about your life. Either you have medication that you need on standby, or there's some shit in there that's just making life much better for you at any given time, you know. And Jackie Beans, from the moment that I saw him,
in there.
I'm so curious as to what's going on. Jackie Beans is a ball of energy. Yeah. Jackie Beans has a smile on his face and a song in his heart, and you can just tell. He's just one of these guys.
Yeah.
One of these guys. Chrissy, I just can't tell you how the universe like tuned in on Jackie Beans' channel for me, and I could not tune it out night long. It's, I don't know what was going on.
He's just so awesome.
Jackie Beans. And so we all collected the Omni.
He's been with Kevin and his family now for a long time.
Yeah, I can imagine the setup there has been that Jackie got a job early with the family and now has grown up with this family. And now they're like, you know, it's a business arrangement, but they're best friends too.
Yeah.
Like they're karmatically tied together in one go. So we all head down the escalator and go over to the CNN, go through the CNN Center to get to Will Call. And that, my friends, is when the fun starts. And I'll have a lot more for you when we get back. Let's take a break.
You'll make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hi, cats and kittens. Rachel here. Do you ever get the urge to speak endlessly into the void, like Brian? Well, I've got just the place for you to do that. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Feel free to call and yell all you want. Tell Brian I need a raise. Compliment Chrissy's innate ability to put up with all his shenanigans. Or tell us a little story. The juicier, the better, by the way. We love to hear your voice because Lord knows we're done listening to ourselves. Also, give us a follow on your favorite socials at The Commercial Break on Insta, TCB Podcast on TikTok. And for those of you who like to watch, that came out wrong. We put all the episodes out on video, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak and tcbpodcast.com for all the info on the show, your free sticker, or just to see how pretty we look. Okay, I gotta go now. I've got a date with my dog. No, seriously, Axel needs food. Today is pork chop day.
All right, so Chrissy and I are on our way to the Pearl Jam show. We're going down the escalator to get to Will Call, where Kevin has got to pick up these tickets that I assume have been left for him by somebody in the band. So, but here's the problem. Chrissy's got my ticket, and the extra ticket, which is my ticket with my brothers, is for Raphael. But because Pearl Jam does not allow transferring of tickets, I really got to think they got to put a stop to that. Like, there's got to be some way of getting a ticket to somebody else in your group who cannot be there right when you walk in the door. And by the way, Pearl Jam alerts you to this ahead of time. They do put in an email. You cannot transfer tickets. So everybody's going to if somebody bought tickets for the group, everybody has to be together at the same time. You all have to go in the door because the way that Ticketmaster does it now to stop StubHub from, like, if you make the tickets non-transferable, to stop StubHub and scalping and all that, Ticketmaster changes the QR code every millisecond or two. So that QR code is constantly changing in billions of different variations. So if you take a screenshot, it's expired the second you take the screenshot. So there is no possible way to, like, you know, you used to be able to, like, screenshot the QR code and then, you know, get somebody in the door. Can't happen. So how are we going to get Rafa to Kevin and Kevin to Rafa and Patrick and all this other stuff? Well, I'm trying to do all this coordination on the phone. But, you know, the fog of war, Chrissy, as they call it, the fog of war. Everybody's in the cups. Everybody's been. It's a fucking concert. I was explaining to Gustavo, who's here in town. He's like, wow, everybody just like gets high and drunk before a show. And I go, it is exactly what you do in the United States of America. Music and drugs and alcohol go hand in hand together. If there is a concert, it doesn't matter what kind of concert. If it's fucking Pavarotti, somebody's getting high before the show.
Oh, yeah.
That's
everybody's
what's happening.
At the bar for sure.
Tell me how many of you out there, and I'm sure there's a few people who are just sober teetotalers, whatever, for whatever reason, don't do drugs or alcohol. But I would imagine the vast majority of the people who are listening here, at least in their past or maybe now, get fucked up before you go to a show. Well, then try and coordinate the meeting one single person in 100,000 people. Yes, that's exactly it. So I say, so Patrick says, well, I got to meet this other guy at the CNN Center, so try and get Rafa to this, and hopefully we'll meet up, and we're all in a group text message, and I'm like, this is, Rafa's twisted, everybody else is twisted, no one's meeting up with anybody, this is going to be impossible. But I just tell Rafa, I'm like, you have Patrick's phone number, I'll walk you to this, good luck, sir, good luck. Yes. You remember that time I got dropped off in Las Vegas after I got super shit-faced and the security had to drop me off inside the hotel room? Then they told the girl I was with, good luck, ma'am. That's how I felt. I felt like I was just saying, good luck, Rafa. And as soon, I'd send Rafa to the CNN Center, and as soon as I walk outside the CNN Center doors, guess who's walking by?
That's
me?
Right.
My twin brother, Patrick. Mm-hmm. And so it all worked out serendipitously. The heavens came together. Kevin and Rafa and Patrick get in the door with another friend of theirs, Eric. And now we're on our way to go to Will Call. This is an adventure in and of itself, because you got to imagine that there's 10 or 11 people who have already been drinking and having fun. And it's like the blind leading the blind, because Kevin has the tickets, but Kevin doesn't know where the fuck he's going. He's, man, I don't even know if he's been to State Farm Arena, but you know, no one else has really been to State Farm Arena either.
In a while.
These people are out of town. They're whatever. And there's 100.
Been in a while.
Yeah, there's 100,000 people down there trying to get into their perspective doors. Like, it's madness down there. But somehow, magically, through the mat. Oh, so we're walking down the street and we're confused as we could fucking be about where Will Call. Because name the last time you picked up a ticket from Will Call. You don't pick up tickets from Will Call. That's not what happens. You have them on your fucking phone. By the way, at Will Call, there's like 20 windows and they have one of them open. You want to know why? No one goes to Will Call anymore. That's why. We're walking around the opposite side of the stadium. People are giving us varying, you know, we're asking, you know, people that look official, you know, where's Will Call?
And they're
giving
us
that way. I don't know. I don't know. What's Will Call? There's a homeless guy on the street and he's on a bike.
Oh, that's right.
And he says, where y'all going? To which we reply, Will Call. And he goes, go through that door, take a right, take another right, take a left and up the stairs. And there's Will Call. And Kevin whips out a 20 and he hands it to the guy. And the guy's like, thank you. And I go, that's the best 20 that guy ever made.
Uh-huh.
If we actually make it to Will Call, if we make it to Will Call, that's the best $20 that's ever been spent. And guess what?
Straight to Will Call.
We went straight to Will Call. That guy knew exactly where he was talking about. He got us a shortcut right to Will Call. We get up there, and Kevin, I don't know, Kevin works his magic and does whatever he does, and out comes a stack of fucking tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin just hands it to us, and he's like, take one down, pass it around.
Yeah.
But not take one, take three tickets. A wristband, a ticket for a seat, and a ticket for
the pit.
So now we've got, all of us have three individual ways. Now we're flush with tickets. This was the craziest thing I had ever seen in my entire life. And I went on tour with Bare Naked Ladies. I went on tour with Bare fucking Naked Ladies. And this was the craziest thing I had ever seen. That not only did essentially Kevin got 30 separate tickets to Pearl Jam waiting for him at Will Call. It was insane. I knew at that moment that whoever Kevin knows, he knows them well.
Yes.
Because that was a epic feat of big dickness.
He's
do you know what
supporter.
I'm saying? Yeah. Okay. All right. Whatever that means. I love it. I was so grateful for this. So great. I was like, this is crazy.
Oh, my God. I mean, I knew it was going to be good, but it was like way even more.
You don't even understand how good these tickets were. They were great. The only could have been made better by being in the front row of this section, but we were only six rows back.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we were deep. We were six rows back. And it didn't and I think even if we had been at the very front, it might have been a worse view because of the speakers and stuff. We
yes.
may have been obstructed.
That was a perfect view.
Perfect view of the stage. 20 feet from the left side of the stage as you're looking at it. So, like, you know, 50 feet from Eddie Vedder. It was just like they were the perfect seats. You had a bird's eye view, but you were so close you could almost touch them. It
and
was insane.
And you have an actual seat.
And you have an actual
seat.
Which
I come to appreciate.
Yes! You came to appreciate that night, too.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So now we have our tickets, and now we've got to go through general security. Well, some people in the group may have never been through general security in their entire life. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a backdoor kind of thing with some of these people. And that became apparent the moment we got through security. So we all filter through a line. And almost all of us go through the line, except for one dude. One dude is looking a little bit nervous about going through general security. He doesn't really know what to do. You know, they have the metal detector,
yeah.
And then they've got a security.
Take stuff out of your pockets.
They take stuff out of your pockets, and they got a security guard that slides that little cup around, uh-huh. You know, to looks
little
in
basket.
It. Yeah, and looks in it to make sure there's nothing there. And a security guard on the other end to make sure no one's, you know, bolting through the door. And then a third security guard, and then a police officer over by the doors of the actual stadium. So you've got essentially four layers of security there, all kind of keeping an eye on what's going on. Well, one of the guys in the group. He's looking a little nervous, but he finally goes through. And, beep! Sir, did you take everything out of your pockets? He reaches into his pocket. He does a little dance with his hand. And he pulls out a wad of $100 bills and a vape pen. And it's like, but he tries to do a little sleight of hand with the vape pen and put it back in his pocket with the other hand and throws the wad of hundreds on the table. To which the security guard gives him the come hither hand.
Like, no, no, no.
Like, no, no, no. Come here, right? Anything else in there? And he reaches into the other pocket and he pulls out like a dollar bill. And the lady in the front screams at him, go back through, go back through. He goes back through. Boop. And he goes, I got a metal hip. Yeah. I got a metal hip. And the lady who's doing the checking on the opposite end is like, gives him the hand again. I think I saw it. Come on. He goes into his pocket, tries to do another dance, but there's nothing left in his pocket. So he pulls out... He pulls out the vape pen, but accidentally also pulls out a baggie, of which I'm not going to describe what was in. But okay, the vape pen goes on the table. The lady looks at it. She looks at her colleague. There's an officer standing behind. She throws it in the trash, right? She knows exactly what it is. It's a pot pen. And so she throws it in the trash. Go back through. Beep. A third time. And now they got the magic wand, and they're doing the magic wand. Beep, 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 beep. It's going beep, 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 beep all over the place. He's like, I'm telling you, I got a metal hip. And she's like, empty your pockets. Turn them inside out. Empty your pockets. He turns his pockets inside out. There's a baggie. There's something else in there. There's something in his boot. I mean, it was like this guy was shaking his leg, and a pound of cocaine came out of it. It was the most crazy thing I've ever seen in a security line. And one of the baggies had some medicine in it. Let's call it. I think it was medicine. I don't know. I didn't see it. But it looked like medicine to me. And the lady picks up the medicine, looks at the other lady. The other lady looks at the officer, and the officer just like kind of waves the guy
like,
in.
Just come on.
He's like, just come on.
Just
come on.
Through.
And so he grabs the baggie, puts it back in, and he goes, I have, and he looks at me and he goes, I got two. He goes, I don't think I've ever been through general security. He goes, I was trying, man. And I go, listen, I get it. I totally understand. 100%.
Well, the group, we were all laughing. We were like, come on, you got this.
I have never seen anything like this in my entire life. It was like a comedy. It was a comedy show going down right in front of my eyes.
It was like a movie.
And I could not help but to be A, scared that someone was going to go to jail, and B, that it was the funniest thing I had ever seen in my entire life. But we all get in. Finally, we arrange to find our seats, and when we find our seats, it is beautiful, wonderful. Pearl Jam hasn't gone on yet. It's 8:45. We get in our seats. Someone, Jackie Beans, runs to grab people drinks.
Yep.
As soon as he gets back, Pearl Jam hits the stage, and it's game on. But now, I've got my brothers, who I was supposed to go to the concert with, sitting 312 rows behind us. And so what do I do? I'm feeling a little bad now that I've got these glorious seats, a handful of extra tickets, and I don't know what to do. So it turns out that one of the tickets is for the floor. The ticket goes with the wristband. You have to have the wristband and the ticket. Mm-hmm. And that's how they get you. Because, you know, you can pretend like, you know, people got smart eventually and they started bringing different color wristbands into shows. And they would find out which color they were using. They just slap them on. They quickly show the wristband. Well, now they stamp it with the name of the band. And, you know, it's a whole thing. But you have to have the ticket to go along with it. You got to show the wristband. You got to show the ticket.
To get into the pit.
To get into the pit. Which is crowded. But
yeah, which I had no interest in.
None of us. None
of us went to the pit.
When we got down to the seats, we realized, because, you know, we just randomly handed out the tickets. We realized we had like 1 through 60. We had the entire fucking row to ourselves. But the row was pretty much full. There was like enough breathing room that everyone was comfortable dancing and having a good time. But I didn't feel it would be appropriate to just grab tickets and start bringing 4 extra people down there. This guy gave me the tickets out of the kindness of his heart. I'm not going to shit on him by bringing an entire, you know.
Scoot over.
Yeah, by bringing an entire Irish Catholic family down from the heavens.
Hey, like, Kevin, keep going.
Hey, keep going, Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin, keep going. Can you stand in the hallway so that my other brothers can stand in the hallway? It's not the right protocol.
Yeah.
This is not what you do when someone gifts you something. You don't shit on them by taking advantage of it, kind of. So I decided after I was texting with my brothers, and I said to Patrick, I said, where are you guys? And that's when he said, look up some more, and then look up again, and there we are. And
yeah, he sent me that picture from where they were. It was like
you could see
two miles away.
It was 2 miles in the air. You could see the entire stadium. It was like, I don't know. It was like watching a puppet show with a miniature stage. That's what it was like.
It was
insane. Even the big screen behind them looked small. It was terrible. So I said, give me a couple songs. I'll figure something out. Let me see how this all shakes out. If people are going to go down on the floor, we might be screwed. But an idea is brewing in my head that, listen, all of us are of a certain age. There's only one kid under the age of 25, 35 there, and he's 17 years old with his dad. I don't think he's going down to the pit by himself.
Right.
So if for some reason these tickets on the pit aren't getting used by song 3, 4, it's likely they're not going to get used. Maybe I can ask the people who are not using them, would it be okay if I gave a couple to the people upstairs?
That's when he shook me down.
That's when I shook Chrissy down.
And I was like, you take everything.
Yes, Chrissy just gave me all of it. Well, Chrissy was having a good time. By song number three, I could tell Chrissy's feet were glued to the floor. She wasn't going anywhere. She was having a good time, but those feet weren't moving.
Hands were moving.
Yeah, your hands were moving.
Cheersing in the air. Yeah,
you were singing along. It was a good time. You know, I loved it when we got there, and there was a dude sitting next to you. And the second that we got there, he broke out the biggest bag of weed I've ever seen, and he was rolling a joint. And I thought that was ballsy. I thought it was lights on and everything. Yeah. I thought that was ballsy. I liked it. I thought, well, somebody didn't get scrutinized by security. Someone got it in. Because at State Farm Arena, not only are they like looking, you know, I was explaining this to Gustavo when I was telling him this story about the guy shaking his leg and a pound of coke came out. I said, and he goes, I can't believe he didn't get arrested. I go, that's not, they don't give a shit. They just want to get you through. They want to make sure the show is safe and that no one, it's a liability to have people in there like selling drugs or doing like vast amounts of drugs. Like they just want to make sure everyone's relatively safe. Now, if you really had a pound of cocaine on you, you'd be going to jail. But for the most part, the cops don't give a shit. They just want you to, like, they just want the security to do their job. And so, you know, they don't even allow lighters in there because there's no place to smoke. There are no designated smoking sections. Smokers are pariahs now, and you can't have them anywhere near the building. And so the smart thing to do is to get a non-heavy metal vape pen or something like that and put it in a shoe or something so that you can just kind of walk on through. And if they bust you, just say, oh, I forgot about that, you know, or throw it away or whatever. So I couldn't believe that this dude managed to get in like a half an ounce of weed and he was rolling a joint. It was insane. So everyone was feeling pretty good by the time the show started. And that was only like a 5-minute period between us getting our seats and whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so I text Patrick. I'm like, hey, dude, just give me a couple songs. We'll figure it out. By like song or 4 or 5, which, by the way, Pearl Jam put on a great show with an incredible set list. Deep cuts, some of the favorites, some of the rockers. It was a heavy show. Like, it was hard rock the entire time. There wasn't a lot of, no Black, no Better Man, none of that slower stuff from some of those albums, which I liked.
It was rocking.
It was rocking. They were blasting through those songs. So I say, hey, Chrissy, can I have your ticket? Let me have your ticket. Let me give it to one of the guys. Then I have a ticket. Now I need some wristbands. So I look to my boy, Jackie Beans, and I say, Jackie.
Who was jamming.
Who was
out to Pearl Jam. I loved it.
I want to say, I want to share this for the tenor and tone of the conversation, not because I give a shit, but this guy is a 50-year-old, I would imagine. Man, the Pearl Jam, probably not the first choice on his iPod, but this guy, Jackie Beans, from the moment the show started, was enjoying Pearl Jam than I have ever enjoyed Pearl Jam. And I consider myself a pretty big fan of the band. This guy was a lightning bolt of energy of the most positive and warming kind. I have, besides Chrissy being on my left side, I have never enjoyed having someone next to me so much at a concert than Jackie Beans.
Oh, yeah. I kept looking over. I was like, yes. Jackie.
He was jamming out.
Oh, my God. He was.
It didn't know a word to any song, but it didn't matter to Jackie because Jackie was in the moment. He felt the energy of the crowd and he loved it. He was soaking it all in. And we were talking and he was asking questions and we were hugging each other and I had my arm around him. I love this guy. And I didn't have anything to smoke or drink that night. I was just sober and feeling so, I don't know, jazzed by Jackie's energy. I love Jackie Beans and I want him on this show tomorrow.
I'll see him this weekend.
Yeah, tell him I love him. I will. I have never felt this way about another man that I've just met. I just got to say that.
You
never.
Guys had a good hug.
We did. When the concert ended, we had a minute. I've never had a hug so long from another man that I just met and felt like it could go on for a couple more minutes and I would have been okay with that.
Yeah.
So I say, Jackie Beans, if you got an extra wristband, is it okay if I give it to somebody? And Jackie goes, we ain't using them. Go get them. So I run up all the way to the heavens.
I didn't even realize that you ran all the way.
I went all the way up there. Yeah. Because, well, this is actually how it went down. I had my wristband and I had my ticket. So, and I had your ticket, but I didn't have a second wristband because you had yours already on. Someone had put on. So rather than get everyone all excited, I wanted to go up there and see what the situation was first before. And I thought maybe there was a way we could figure it all out, but I didn't really know. Well, I get up there. It's Kevin, Rafa, Patrick, and Patrick's friend, Eric. But when I get up there, it's only Patrick and Eric because Kevin and Rafa have been nowhere to be found since the concert started, and they're not responding to text messages. So those two have gone off on their own adventure somewhere.
They got through security with some stuff.
They got through security. They're professionals. They've been through general security every single time. This was, we'd nowhere to be found, but they're big boys. And I trust that they're taking care of themselves. And if they're together, they're probably in trouble, but maybe the good kind. I don't know. Who knows? Who cares? I don't know. They're going to be okay. But it was just Patrick and Eric. I think I can work a miracle. I think I can take them from the very last row of the stadium to the very first row of the stadium by snapping my fingers. And through the magic of Kevin and Jackie Beans and Chrissy, we can get this done. So I say, guys, let's go. And, you know, Kevin and I text Kevin and Rafa.
Sorry, Rafa.
Yeah. Kevin. Well, I told him, I said, where are you guys? You know, I'm here. Like the cavalry has come. I'm here to save you from the most terrible seats you've ever had. But they don't respond. So let's go, guys. So we go downstairs. I run down. I talk to Jackie. I look at Chrissy. Chrissy says, don't leave me. I said, I won't. I'll be right back. Chrissy says, I don't need you. Please don't leave me. And I said, 3 minutes. I'll be right back. So I run upstairs. I bequeath these wristbands on Patrick and Eric. They are like wide-eyed. I mean, they are like, oh my God. And I'm like, yes, go. And so they go.
Go forth.
I grab water for you.
Yes.
I come back.
That was
back
the best
down.
Water I'd ever had in my life.
When
you got back with that water.
It was. I got myself a water.
Before that,
it was good
I had
too.
Just been nursing a drink like.
Since the hotel.
2 hours or something.
It was going on for a long time. I took the drink out of your hand, actually.
Yeah.
I go, why don't you give me that? And you take this, and that'll make sure that we keep our head on our shoulders for the rest of the night. And the show
was so good.
Went on, and it tore up, and I had a bird's eye view of Eddie and the boys. I had a bird's eye view of Patrick and Eric enjoying themselves. I found them in the crowd when they got down there. I waved to them. They waved to me, and I watched them enjoy the show all night long. I enjoyed the show. Jackie Beans enjoyed the show. Chrissy enjoyed the show.
Everybody did.
And then it ended, and we had to get out with 100,000 other motherfuckers.
Yes.
And I have never in my life, never in my life have I been in traffic like that ever. That was insane. It took us an hour and 15 minutes to get away from the stadium.
I've had that before down at Lakewood, and it is miserable. At least in downtown Atlanta, like at Lakewood, there's nothing.
Yeah,
but
there's nothing.
At least in downtown, like Rafa and I were like, let's just go have a drink.
Yeah. But there could have been, we could have gone to a bar or a hotel, but that also probably would have been a madhouse too, right after 100,000 people.
Right. That's probably where everybody else was going.
But I do have to say this about Atlanta, and I love this about Atlanta. Kendrick Lamar, SZA, Pearl Jam all release at the same time. Everybody's out on the streets together. And I was talking to people who had left, I said, how was the Kendrick Lamar show? Like, and everybody was having a good time. As a matter of fact, we walked by a guy. He's got a Kendrick Lamar shirt on, so he's just been to the show. And he kind of high-fives Rafa on me, you know, gives us the little knuckles thing. And as he's walking away, I turn around and I say, hey, man, how was the show? And he said, it was incredible, like that. And I go, oh, okay. And because he snorted when he said it.
Uh-huh.
And I go, oh, okay. And then he yells. He goes, I did that because I just did a bump. And I go, oh, cool, man. Okay. Yeah. All right. Rock on. And he goes, do you want one? And I was like,
I'm good.
Stranger. Cocaine from a stranger. 2025. You know, I don't want to end up at the hospital tonight. It was a nice offer. And I honestly think he was offering out of the goodness of his heart and the highness of his brain. You know, sometimes when you get that little coke in you, whatever you want to share with everybody becomes your friend. And I think that was just that. But you never know right now what you're getting in your drugs.
No.
And I have kids. Yeah, I'm not just going to randomly start sniffing cocaine with a stranger.
No.
Because then I'd follow him home. You know, if I took one bump, then I'd want to follow him home and hang out with him all night long. And be like, you got more? Let's go. An hour and 15 minutes home. So we leave at 11:30. Now it's almost 1 o'clock in the morning before we get back to Chrissy's house where I've parked my car. And after we kind of hang out for a few minutes and Rafa and I get back on the road, it's almost 2 in the morning before I get Rafa back to his house.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'm calling Jeff. I'm talking to Jeff.
You and I
are texting. I was up till 3:30 in the morning.
But
crazy.
The craziest part of the best part of the night for me was I pull into the driveway here at the house, and I am so incredibly hungry because I didn't have dinner.
Me either. I didn't have dinner.
Oh my God.
That was part of my problem.
Yeah, I think that was part of your problem,
too. I fixed a huge thing of pasta.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So I get home. And I was texting with Astra on the way home just to let her know. I figured she was sleeping, but she was just like, you know, woke up to respond to me. I said, I'm so hungry. She's like, stop by McDonald's. It's 2:30 in the morning. No, there's no McDonald's that's open. You know, not around here anyway.
Yeah.
So what's the one place in Atlanta and anywhere in the South where you know you can get a hot, stinky fried meal at any time, day or night? Waffle House.
Waffle House.
I pull into the driveway.
You went to Waffle House?
I downloaded the Waffle House app.
Oh,
I order it to go.
That's
and
pro.
I took a 15-minute drive to the nearest Waffle House. It was a pro move. And I picked it up. And the Waffle House scene was crazy, Chrissy.
I can only
it was crazy. It's almost 2:30 in the morning. On a Tuesday night. And it was insane. I'll tell you more about that. Let's take a break.
Why don't you text us? And we can text back. And then you can text us in reply. Then so on. It's a fun little game I've been playing. And I think you'll be great at it. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You could leave a message, too. If you do, maybe you'll end up being the voice of the show. But be warned, the pay is not great. You could go to the website and drop us an email also, tcbpodcast.com. And while you're there, you can get a free sticker. Who doesn't want a free sticker? Just go to the Contact Us button and ask for one. Follow us on Insta at The Commercial Break and watch the episodes at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Now I'm going to go back to that texting game. You want to play? Come on. Bye.
So I get on the horn there. I get on the old application, and I I used to call up Waffle House, and I'd be like, "Hey, Waffle House." Yeah, when I lived on Howell Mill, those people knew me by name. When I'd call up, and I'd be like, "Hey, it's Brian," and they'd be like, "Yeah, double egg, covered and diced and chopped and diced," and I'd be like, "Yeah, that's it, okay." Some of those girls knew me by name. I was up there 2 times, 3 times a week.
Yeah, we would go.
Yeah, I also weighed 70 pounds more than I do right now. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I was just divorced. I was putting on the divorce 30, 80, 100, whatever it was.
You actually lost a lot of weight after you got
divorced. I did, but that was after a couple months of packing it on. Of not knowing what to do with myself at night. You know, I just kind of like meander around and buy drugs from D and... It was a moment there.
Ordering pepperoni pizzas.
Yeah, ordering pepperoni pizzas and Waffle House from the girls who knew my name. But I also know from being a Waffle House expert for a period of my life that 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning, that's a great time to order Waffle House because you're probably going to get it pretty quick, especially on a Tuesday, right? It's not a lot going on a Tuesday. Well, I drive up to this Waffle House. It's probably 10 minutes away from the house. I drive up to this Waffle House that I've never been to, but I mean, I know where it is. I drive by it all the time, but I've never been to it personally. And I pull into the parking lot. There's like 3 or 4 cars in there. There's 2 tables, a guy sitting at the bar that I can see as I'm driving into the parking lot. And when I pull into the parking lot, there is a woman with her like a backpack, a Gucci bag, not a bag, not a Gucci handbag, but a bag from a Gucci store.
Oh, okay, that says Gucci on
it. And she is fully asleep on the in one of the parking spaces on the ground.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, oh my God. So I drive around her, you know, I decide not to park on top of her. I drive around her and then I get out and I walk over just to make sure she's breathing. To make sure she's breathing. And she's breathing. And I say, ma'am, are you okay? And she turns her head and she goes, leave me alone. And I was like, okay, all right.
10-4. Copy that.
Yeah, I'm just here for my food. Yeah, thanks. I was trying to be a good human.
Back to your nap.
Yeah, I was trying to be a good human, but I see you're tired. So I'll let you sleep.
Yes.
I am too. I'm going to get some Waffle House and go home. So I get into the Waffle House and there is a huge hunk of a man that is cooking the food. Huge. He's like 6'4", 280 pounds. I mean, this guy is huge. And he's cooking and he's cooking. And he's got all these to-go boxes lined up. I know they're so good at what they do.
They are so efficient.
You know, I watched Top Chef.
Yeah.
And one time they did like a short order cook episode. And the Padma said, you know, short order cooks are the unsung heroes of chefing. And I have to agree with her. Because to take those orders and keep them in your brain, put them all down, cook them at the same time.
Cook them at the same time.
It's unbelievable.
Some at different times.
Yeah.
You got to remember that one. You put that one in first.
I know.
It's a whole system.
And they got 2 grills going. It's like, it's really feels to me very complicated. And as many times I've been to a Waffle House, I still don't understand how they do it. And remember the diced and covered and smothered and all that. Whatever. Anyway. So I get there. And there is a squeakish little man with a beard that's the other person in the store, like waiter. So it's the waiter and the guy cooking, and that's all the people, that's all the employees that I can see in there. There's only two tables, and there's a guy sitting at the bar, and now I'm in there, and I can see that my food is being made. I can see the plates are out. I can see one of the two sandwiches that I ordered are sitting there. And this guy is just berating the waiter, berating him. Order up! I said order up! Get over here! And this guy's like, he's like, what? I'm over here trying to help customer. And he's like, I said order up. Now, if you don't get the orders up when the order's up, then you're going to get behind. You're already behind enough. You don't need to be behind. Now, get that order and put it in the bag. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. They're like bickering at each other. So the guy comes back. Now he's helping the guy at the counter. You know, he's like, I'm sorry it took so long. You know, what can I get you? And before the guy can even say his drink order, the chef, order up! Order up! And I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. He's screaming at this guy. And so the guy turns around and like, you know, like wimpishly walks back to grab the order, puts it down at the table, then comes back to grab the guy's order. He's like, I'm so sorry about that. What can I get you to drink? Repeat order on one! And the guy turns, I mean, every time this guy like snaps too. He's like, he turns around, he breaks out his little pad and he goes, smothered, covered, diced and covered. Covered or smothered? I can't hear you. They are just hate each other. And they're like going at it. And it's just insane to me that this is going on at 2:30 in the morning. And there are only three individual tables entire place, and me waiting on a to-go order. And I could see there may be some other to-go orders that are like lined up or whatever, but this doesn't seem to me to be the most complicated thing in the world. You got three tables, a couple cups of coffee, a soda, a water, and a couple sandwiches, and you're going to be okay. But this guy gives this dude no minute of peace, no minute of peace. So if he repeats the order, then he goes, okay, now the dude comes around and like, you know, the dishwasher is going, and the chef turns around in his busyness, turns around, flips the dishwasher open. Glasses need pudding. Glasses need pudding. Get this glassware. This glassware sits here. There's going to be stains on it. We don't have stains on the glasses. I'm like, oh my God.
Maybe he was in training.
That's maybe.
How, that's how you have to learn.
That's one hell of a training. That's one hell of a training
trial
method.
By fire.
I will tell you what. That is one hell of a training method. But, you know, eventually the food, and the chef made sure that the second my food was done, that it got to me because he just, hold up! And the guy ran over, put it in the bag, threw it to me, said thank you. And I got two sandwiches, right? Mm. Two sandwiches and some hash browns.
Making me hungry,
I was
actually,
that hungry. Yeah. I know. Not me too. I hope Noemi's got something good. So I get in the car and one of those sandwiches did not even make it to the
house.
No,
you just immediately did.
I was eating it while I was driving. And the good news is there's no one on the road at 2 a.m. So I just all over the road. Like if an officer had been behind me, I definitely would have been pulled over. And, you know, sometimes I like it. I like it when there's no one on the road.
I know. Me too. You know, that's the only way I like to drive.
Yeah, for you, it's like you need a helicopter. That's what you need. If you had a helicopter, I think you'd go more places. But getting in that car is not a good for you. I do not like sitting in traffic.
No.
And the getting out of that show was just epically clusterfucked. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really was. Even when we finally found the Uber, which, by the way, State Farm and Mercedes, but you got to do a better job on those nights of telling people where the Uber stand or taxi stand is.
Yeah.
Because we asked six different officers and we got six different answers.
We should have found the homeless guy back from before the
show.
Yeah,
no shit, right? That guy was, he seemed like he knew exactly what he was talking about.
Uh-huh.
All told, it was an incredible night of music and fun. And big thanks to Kevin and big thanks to Jackie Beans. Like they just.
Oh, yeah.
They really did it right. They took care of us. Yeah, I mean, this will be legendary, not only because of the fun that we had and the people that we were with and the music that we saw, but just the group of people made it an adventure worth having. There are a lot of people who you would have kind of gotten all through all those like little roadblocks, like, you know, trying to find somebody to meet up before the show or finding will call or getting through security or, you know, all the different little things that happen on one of these nights, they would have made it fucking miserable, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people on this earth who would have made that miserable.
Why are we walking all over?
I just remember breathing around. I was with y'all. I was with everybody.
Well, because I think everybody had the spirit of let's just get it done.
Yeah.
I also think that because, you know, we've all done this a few times, like this isn't our first rodeo at a concert, you know that sometimes you just got to go through a little bullshit to get to the, it takes a couple of licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop. Do you know what I'm saying, Chrissy?
That's right.
I guess that's the bottom line. That's the best way of putting it. But once you get to the center of the Tootsie Pop.
It's sweet.
It's sweet, sweet, sweet. And good on Pearl Jam. Congratulations to Matt Cameron, as Eddie said, for making it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for the second time with Soundgarden. Once with Pearl Jam now and with Soundgarden.
Wow.
What a night. I think probably my favorite part of the night was when Eddie took some time out to recognize someone who's just a few rows in front of us, a kid named Isaac, who had had a heart transplant, and he was just well enough to get to the show. His mom had written Eddie, or the band, and Eddie stopped the show, found the kid in the crowd, found the mom and the kid in the crowd, and then explained that Isaac, which was his name, wouldn't be here today if some of us weren't checking the box of
organ
being
donor.
Organ donors on our driver's license. I do.
I'm one. I've been one for a long time.
I know that some people are scared of that, and there's some religious things around some things and stuff like that. But if you're not, and you can get over your fear,
it saves lives.
It saves lives. It's a way for you to live on in some small way. And this kid was a living proof of that. He was 16 years old, heart transplant. That's insane. And he was at the Pearl Jam concert, apparently well enough to be there and rocking out with everybody else.
Yeah.
So good on Eddie for taking the time to call that out. But I think he's really known for that. Like, this isn't the first time or last time Eddie will find someone in a crowd that needs a little bit of attention. But if you can, it made me think about the fact that I'm a donor. My wife's a donor. And a lot of people I know are donors. Mm-hmm. We check that box. Now, I don't know if anybody's going to want my liver or my kidneys after all I've done to it. But if that happens to be the way it goes down, then I hope it goes to a 15 or 16-year-old kid, because that kid, think about that. That kid, he's a kid. And if he didn't have the heart transplant, he would have been standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And 15 or 16 or 17 years old is just way too little time here on earth. And so however long that heart affords him is another day blessed, I guess.
Yes,
and I hate
nice.
When people say it's blessed, but in this situation I think it's actually appropriate. So there you go.
Boom.
Adventures with Pearl Jam. We had a good time. I wanted to talk about the bop house. I wanted to talk about mewing. We got to none of it, but that's okay. We'll get to all of it. We'll get to all of it later. That's the way it's going to be. All right. Wow. We are in May.
the crazy month.
The crazy month. And it's going to end.
What is it, loco?
Mes de loca.
Mes de loca.
It's going to be a crazy month for everybody around here. Not only are you going to get your regular 16 episodes of the commercial break, but you're going to get an additional 12 on the very last day of the month, supporting mental health awareness.
Bringing up the caboose.
Bringing up the caboose. That's right.
Mental health.
Bringing up the train will be 12 additional, at least 12 additional episodes of the commercial break on May 31st. And I'll explain a little bit now. Most of those will be recorded on the same day, recorded and released on the same day. A few celebrity interviews are going to be done beforehand just for logistics sake. But Chrissy and I are going to be here on May 31st recording those episodes, and you'll be able to watch them live on YouTube and Twitch. You'll be able to watch us record them, then you'll be able to listen to them on the RSS feed an hour later, all raising awareness about mental health, celebrating 5 years of the commercial break.
And our mental health.
And our mental health. The fact, I can't believe we still have it. So our friends at Covert Creative, Odyssey, our network, and CTB, Central Talent Booking, all supporting the cause. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And tune in. Mark it on your calendars and tune in. Also, can you do us a favor? If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, go and rate the podcast. Rate it a 1. Rate it a 5. I don't care. Just rate it. If you could do that, we certainly would appreciate it. At The Commercial Break on Instagram. Follow us there. YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak. Whoa, my voice. It's still recovering from the other
it
night.
It is, me yeah. too.
That's our YouTube channel. All the episodes on video. Same day they are here on the audio. Go check it out. Subscribe to the channel. 212-433-3TCB. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, or be on the show. Give us a call. Let us know. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for now.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.